Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Well, greetings to you. Welcome to the show. This is Propaganda, the show where we find out what's been said in the football world this week. Dan here, along with Michael and Moscow White, in a show that is brought to you in association with Levi Solicitors.
Yep. Yeah, it's not any weeks, I don't think. And Moscow told me last week it was conveyancing week.
He might have made that up, mightn't he?
He might have done. No, I did check it. Oh, right, I did check it. It was legit.
It's, you claim to already know. Were you lying?
I might have been stretching the truth a little bit, yes. Never. But it is probate week.
Were you trying to get street cred for knowing when National Conveyancing Week was? You didn't want to get anybody to think you weren't cool.
Well, I'm big in the conveyancing community, aren't I? So it's embarrassing to not know it, I suppose. But maybe it's better to just fess up.
Were you dissing it because you weren't asked to be part of it?
So, probate week, you say?
Yeah, well, it might not.
Right. Can you give me the dictionary definition of what probate is? Because obviously you're an expert in these.
No. It's the short answer.
It's the official...
It's like dispersing stuff from a will, isn't it?
The official proving of a will.
Right, there you go. Yeah, so do that, Levi Solicitors.
.co.uk/thesquareball to get a 10% discount on your legal fees. Wide range of services on there. If you're a regular viewer, listener, you will know what at least some of them are. Mm. If not, they have a website that will tell you all the rest, and that's probably a better place to find out and get advice than from us.
Maybe.
But you can do it at a 10% discount. levislisters.co.uk/thesquareball. Into propaganda then. And before we go on the magical mystery tour that Michael has prepared for us around the football world this week, should we check in on Dad and see how he's doing since the divorce?
You know, we've got fans that are very emotional and keep reminding us, we've got to stick together. I mean, the team's got to stick together. We've got a job to do. We've got 8 games to make a difference and get out of that relegation zone. And we can do it. But when I see people just making conciliatory comments, they're defeated. We're going to go down. I sometimes wonder, are those fans from that place that starts with an L, ends with a D and S? I don't want to say that, but it just gives them fodder, frankly. And I mean, we're better than that.
We're better than that. That's the Huddersfield owner, Kevin Nagel.
It was ages ago we played him.
Yeah, but they're better than giving us fodder, he says, while refusing to say the word Leeds, as a grown man. So there's that.
Also relying very Jesse Marsh-esque, relying on the power of fans' positive thinking on social media. That's what's going to keep them up.
Yeah.
Not better players than Ogge and co.
Yeah, it's good that he's very much playing to the social media crowd, because that is how you will secure your safety in the championship, I feel.
Just believe and tweet positively, and that's going to solve everything. So good luck with that strategy, see how that works out for them. And maybe all the metrics of the engagement that they're getting on social media, if there's a reduction in negativity amongst Huddersfield fans, we'll see a direct correlation to the results in the league table, and I would like to see him produce that data.
Credit for that goes to his strange-headed friend. Is it Carmichael?
That guy.
Yeah.
Guy who does the tweeting. Does Kevin himself have a Twitter account, or does he leave it?
Yeah, he's got one, yeah.
Does he?
Yeah, because he uses the asterisk quite a lot instead of the letter E.
Right,
of course. When typing the word Leeds.
Only the word Leeds, or is it like cheese a problem for him?
Haven't looked that far into it, but I like to think that's the case, yeah.
Empathy becomes empathy. can't be doing with the letter E. Maybe it's a problem for him. Huddersfield without the R would be pretty... Well, without the... the R would be there.
Yeah.
But it's two E's that would be removed, wouldn't it? So it would be going, Hudder, Huddersfield. Yeah, he's making life very complicated for himself.
Unnecessarily so.
Yeah, just use the E. It was, used to be the, which poet was it? Wrote books without using the letter E.
There was a whole book of it, wasn't there? Yeah.
Plenty of it. Anywho, he's following in that tradition.
A fan of that poet. I'm going to have to Google it now to find out who it was. Where are we going first then, Michael? Set us up for this.
Millwall, do you want to hear from someone who was at the ground first? I felt they were quite half-hearted, the Millwall fans. And the first clip, I feel, probably captures this, because this is Millwall Tube and he's on a bus and they're arriving into the little compound and they're trying to do the sort of singing songs thing. But it's all so half-hearted and they're filming out the window and there's no one there to greet them. It's not like there's a load of baying Leeds fans there. There's just two lads on their phone just looking at a screen and they're trying to do their intimidating songs. And it sounded a bit like this and it's a little bit sad sounding.
Just before I play that, have Googled it. It's the novel Gadsby, written in 1939 by Ernest Vincent Wright. 50,000 word novel, doesn't contain the letter E, or so Wright thought, because I think it's in there four times and I don't know if that was an accident. So couldn't even do that right. So maybe Kev's really annoyed at that.
Maybe they were twice in Leeds twice. That's four, isn't it?
We don't care. We are Millwall.
There we go.
Oh, that's not very intimidating, is it? Just a few old men singing on a film official bus.
You go tell them.
They might throw the flat caps at me.
Right.
A lot of flat caps. That's one thing I did pick up from the in-stadium footage as well. Never seen such a high concentration outside of the 1920s, 30s, 10s. Don't know. Old clips, black and white clips, Pathé News. Yeah. That's what I'm getting at, but with more violence. They also sing a song which is a variant of the Chelsea song that we sing, but they seem to be more Millwall-y lyrics, but more simple, more straightforward.
We're not the Arsenal, we're the happy Spurs, is what she said to me.
And I cut it off there because the video went into some Jimmy Savile chants as well, which is always nice, isn't it? Should we hear the Nonto goal?
Mm.
So this is as it is on Millwall Tube's video, and it's just a nice bit of contrast.
25 minutes gone here, and so far so good, I've got to say. Apart from maybe that summer of the chance, you know, they haven't really threatened us too much, to be fair, Leeds.
Leeds United 1, Millwall 0. Great goal from Donato, I think his name is. Couldn't do much about that, to be fair.
They were so hopeful though, weren't they?
Gnotto.
It seems to be a common thing, does Gnotto. I don't know why. It's fairly obvious. I think it's because people have done one N and they refuse to acknowledge the second one. Maybe it's that Huddersfield guy's back in, putting little stars over it.
Next we go to 2-0, presumably, because that's what the game finished.
Yeah.
It's Leeds United 2, Millwall 0.
Deserve a point from that game. I'm struggling to agree with them there.
He struggles to agree with himself, actually, because he comes back post game and he seems to have actually changed his mind on that, quite rightly so.
In the first half, Leeds definitely dominated us. In the second half, we had a little spell where it was looking like we were going to equalise, but looking back overall, I think Leeds definitely did deserve the win. You know, Sarkic made a few really good saves to keep us in the game at times.
Fair enough in the end.
Yeah.
I mean, overall, they were not too upset by this because I think they sort of knew it was coming.
Because they were rubbish.
Because they are rubbish. Mm. They're a bad team with a bad manager and bad players.
Yeah, and we're quite good.
Yeah, I watched it back again and we were probably more in control than I remember from being in the ground. We were talking about it getting a bit weird before. Dan James scored. It was actually the main thing that was happening was Rutter was having his chance. It was saved and then he hit the post. That was a very Rutter thing to do as well when the keeper saves it and then he gets to the rebound himself, even though it's gone in a completely different direction. And that's another goal. But and then it was only, I thought the last like 10 minutes when they were attacking us was, it felt more panicky in the ground than obviously it helps knowing what happened, but watching it again, nah, they were rubbish.
I feel like this is a recurring theme this year, that in the ground it's quite tense, but when you watch it back, you're like, well, they didn't really create any chances though, did they? Mm-hmm. There's always bits of games where the opposition has the ball, but then they don't do anything. It's the sort of the periods that if we have bits like that, I get frustrated because I'm like, we're just not doing anything here. We need to actually, it's very well having the ball, but at some point you need to try and create something.
There was the number 21 getting into the penalty area and kind of dribbling around, and then there was the Melier save from a header, but that was offside anyway. It's a good save. Probably even more difficult because the guy was getting in an unfair advantage, closer to the goal than he should have been.
I was pleased that the club tweeted that out, actually. They wanted to give it a bit of credit, which was nice.
My dad made it to 73 minutes before he vacated his seat. Then he watched, he said, I'm going to watch 5 minutes downstairs then go. So I'm thinking he probably saw it up to the second goal. As soon as goal number two went in, he was off because he was confident we were going to win.
Is that why he leaves?
No. What did you do at about 80 minutes, Michael? Well, these went 2-0 up. Come on.
I put a bet on us not winning that game because I noticed it was 100-1 and I was like, pound. Just put a pound on that because if it does happen, I'm going to need something from this because I won't be able to bear it. I don't know. I feel like I've seen us mess up against Millwall enough times that there was something in my head went, just cover this off.
So what I was saying about when we recorded with Phil straight after the game, after we'd done the match ball, and it's the one that was out on Monday in your feed, saying that much of our terror is sort of a Leeds United PTSD, isn't it? From having seen these things before, even though you look at it and you think, well, we're a different animal now. But as Phil's kind of touched on before, you fear that there's always that some sort of terror. There's an existential dread about being a Leeds fan that there's just, it's bubbling under the surface. You think, oh, we might end up regressing to the mean or doing what we always do. But I don't know. We haven't done it yet, he says, with 8 games to go.
Still time, isn't there? Hull at home feels very, very Leeds-y to lose. I think we lost that one in the Bielsa promotion season, didn't we? Or was it the year before, maybe? We certainly lost at some point.
We beat
home to Hull.
Oh, at home. Yeah, because I was about to put some on Tyler Roberts' name for the 4-0 away.
It was when they still had Bowen, actually, because he was the one tearing us apart. I think it might have been Bielsa's first year, but it was. There's still time for us to ruin it.
Millwall, though.
Yeah, they weren't very good. Should we go Lions TV now? This is the home of that bloke who does his little musical interludes and his sort of strange little diversions.
Any song in this?
There may be a bit of song.
Oh, okay.
There may be a bit of a song. He wasn't at the game. He was watching it down the bottom of someone's garden by the looks of it in a little...
Did you just watch it somewhere normal? Why does it always have to be down the bottom of somebody's garden?
He was searching.
Did you know who they were?
Searching for the Cottingley Fairies, Moscow.
A long way away from them.
But here
he's
he is. Here he is complaining about the ref and with his traditional insult about this referee as well.
Let's start off with that referee because the condom full of fucking walnuts. What a prick. That geezer is such a fucking bellend. It's unbelievable. Tight top like this. Always a Millwall player. Give him a card. Give him a card. Leeds one does it. Oh, fucking nubbing. Is he having a laugh? The amount of cards we got today was a fucking joke. And it was silly because when Leeds made a foul, nothing.
Was he equally bad for both sides, or we were just not as dirty?
No,
or have
I think he needs to probably address the fact that we should have had a penalty and they should have been out of 10 men in the first half.
Right.
And if not that, he could have done him for elbowing Routier off the ball, same fella. And there was, I didn't like the tackle on Archie Gray either. I can't remember which one of their, he might have been their number 10, was quite late through him because he beat three players. You know, when he gets under pressure in the right back situation, it's like, I'll just dribble it around all of you. And he was halfway through in that and somebody just took him out. But yeah, the card count was a joke because there were not enough of them to Millwall players. That was the joke.
So just for the record, I've just had a look at the cards and it was 3 yellows to us, 4 to them.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Archie Gray tackle, the one Archie Gray did, I did see that back and he could have maybe been booked for that, but it's not like you need someone in the face or anything.
In
is
the
it?
Face? That was Millwall, wasn't it?
Watching the replay back of that, and I know it's been picked up on the stance that Steve Martin took to observe it, where he's staring straight at it.
A real watching stance.
But the comparison between his very sort of I'm in charge stance and then his signals to say no penalty, you know, often the good referees will do a big, like, no, like their arms will swing across their shoulders and you'll see the massive gesture. He does it almost like a little half-hearted in front of his body.
Maybe he can't, because of his biceps muscle, maybe he can't get him across properly.
It could be that. And then he looks across at his useless lino, who we already knew had similarly stared straight at Jake Cooper wrestling Wolf Nyonto to the floor and them two fighting on the ground and just gone, I'm just going to keep looking at this. And I think he kind of, because he'd made this sort of meek, not confident gesture, I think he was then like, I really hope the lino's flagging or something, so he knows what has happened here, because he may have been looking at it, but his mind was elsewhere. And then when he gets nothing, there's then just another little kind of, oh, well, he's not flagged, so I'm going to do me little thing again. But there was no, I was expecting, you know, confident referees make confident gestures in that situation. I'm sure half the players probably didn't even notice him doing his little, no, I'm not giving it thing. Whereas there's normally like David Ellery or somebody would be like ready for takeoff when they're doing that kind of thing, flapping their arms about. He's just a joke, isn't he? He's a terrible. And if you look on some of the photo agency websites, you can find a pre-match photo shoot with him. He was doing some little photos of him putting the ball across the goal line. Somebody wanted to take some pictures of him doing that to demonstrate. I think it must have been asked for to demonstrate the technology, because he's showing off his little wristwatch to say whether the ball's over the line or not. So he was, he'd had a great day of being like, everyone's like, oh, we'll put your makeup on, get your hair done, we'll get your photo shoot, we'll get the lighting, you look really cool. And then he's going to go out and referee Leeds versus Millwall. And then he just lost his mind.
Am I right in thinking that this is his Instagram account? Let's find out. I'm just clicking through. Football referee, Steve Martin referee. Is he from Stafford? It's got to be the same bloke.
It's surely not a fan account.
Well, no. Well, what I'm saying is,
maybe Purple Aki's set up an account for him.
So the account is Steve J Martin Ref, and the picture is of a man with his profile pic is a picture of a man. Sort of, it's a side profile, so he's looking out over the ocean, clearly on holiday, no top on, flexing his muscles. Must be the same bloke.
Yeah, he shouldn't have that
private account.
No, at least he's on the team. I suppose I can live with a private account, actually.
Yeah. You're saying referees shouldn't be allowed on Instagram?
No, I think a private account's fine. It was more if it's like a for his own publicity.
A promotional account.
Yeah, I feel like that's not acceptable.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Right, next, where are we going?
This is back to the man in the garden, and he thought there was a bit of a golfing class, but he thought they did all right.
Now, the golfing quality between the two clubs was fucking evident today. It was there at Rule 2. But that performance by Millwall, bar what happened in the final third, was pretty good today. But the four substitutions, they gave us a bit of impetus. They gave us a bit of fresh legs at a time when we needed more up front. We needed more. And then we created the chances. These kids, they don't know we're filming on Lions TV. Bloody kids. You want to play football? Play for Millwall. The dog's going to play for Millwall.
Yeah, that veered off, didn't it?
He does this, which I do quite enjoy, really. But yeah, he had already addressed the dog in a previous clip. So there's a dog just sat with a football in its mouth at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to play for Millwall.
Good.
Apparently so. I didn't expect this next clip from Millwall, actually. It's Celebration Police. I don't know why. I feel like giving Millwall a happy to celebrate.
Don't want to get the Rozzies involved.
Just like being Millwall. Yeah, that's true, yeah.
So we snitched.
We'll deal with it ourselves.
He's groused it out.
And he's also...
We will sort this.
He also seems to be blaming Leeds for moving the kickoff, which clearly is nothing to do with us.
I noticed that obviously they only sold the back of the West Stand part that they've got. And, you know, this season they've given the bit at the front to the Leeds fans. Didn't do that on Sunday, did they?
No.
Didn't do that on Sunday.
Mate, you're celebrating being top of the league, beating a Millwall side that, you know, your wage bill's 67 million, as is 6.7 million. You're celebrating like you've won the fucking FA Cup. You made it as difficult as you could for our fans to get up there 3 o'clock on a Sunday, because you don't want 2,000 Millwall up there, 3,000, creating that kind of atmosphere that I believe we could have snatched a draw today.
Didn't Sky move it?
And also 3 p.m. on a Sunday, you're going to London. There's loads of trains back to London.
Two hours and 10 minutes, isn't it?
And on the kickoff, did you notice that they had two of their players had bombed forward before the kickoff was taken?
I saw that in your match report, Moscow, and it's funny because I noticed exactly that from the kickoff. I was like, I wanted to say, referee, officials, pull it back and start again.
They ended up standing right in front of the lino on that side,
yep,
wearing bright orange shirts and shorts, and the ball was booted straight to them. So it's kind of from the very beginning. The officials in that game were just like, oh, let them do that. That's fine. So I don't know what time we could have moved the kickoff to accommodate Millwall cheating around it.
It's frustrating, Moscow, though, that we moved it to the non-traditional 3 p.m. kickoff.
I mean, on a Sunday, I admit it's not great. I'd rather it wasn't 3 p.m. on a Sunday.
They were all in church, weren't they?
But let's not pretend getting back to London at like 6 o'clock on a Sunday is impossible. There'll be about another four trains at least, don't there, after that?
They're every half an hour.
So just get on one of them and don't moan about it.
Right. What if their engineering works, though?
Well, that was probably Leeds United instigated those as well.
Do you think another 1,500 Millwall fans would have affected the result to the extent that our friend thinks it would have?
More of that.
It's
one of the worst songs, isn't it?
Let's have a song.
Leeds didn't trouble us that much, though. Old Jimmy Somerville. Happy together. The Leeds wanker. If nothing, did they? Pad a puff.
Sorry?
I think...
That was an erasure song.
I think that's an erasure song he's tried to do there.
Yeah.
which is a mistake.
So it was an erasure song, thinking it was Jimmy Somerville, who was in the Communards and not erasure, about Crescenzio Somerville. Is that what we're getting at?
That's it.
Super.
I do like his songs, though.
Yeah, they're good.
At some point, I'm going to put together a little medley of them.
I want an album. Have you thought about collaborating?
With him?
Yeah.
No.
His schedule's not going to match up.
No.
No.
It's too scary.
Right, go on next.
Let's go. Should we go back to the stadium or a drunk man outside a pub?
Oh, pub.
Pub man. All right, this is a drunk man outside a pub. He does admittedly start this video by saying, I'm a bit pissed, so sorry about this. But here he is, talking about gravy.
Listen, look, we know up north they love gravy, don't we? I know it was different gravy today. But I wouldn't say that. They weren't like Bisto or anything like that. They was just, they're top of the tree for a reason.
All right.
Not Bisto.
I mean, Bisto is a fairly mediocre granule. It's a time-saving granule gravy, yeah.
Yeah, you're not going to, if you're in a restaurant, you don't want Bisto, do you?
No, definitely.
Bisto's not the best gravy.
There is Bisto best, though, isn't there, of course?
Yeah, true. I use the Bisto, not the instant powder ones. You know, the one that just sort of thickens it. That's quite good, where you mix that with the juices and stuff.
Ooh.
That's all right.
Somebody's doing well.
That's all right.
Still. Must be nice.
He'll clearly be thinking about the gravy that his old ma used to make. That's the standard, isn't it? We know this.
Do they have, he was saying it's a northern thing, isn't it? I mean, us northern boys do love gravy.
We would never fall back on regional stereotypes on this,
podcast,
thankfully. And I guess you can't put them on cockles, can you?
No.
Your gravy. So.
And jelly deals and gravy's not going to, and so on and so forth. Next.
Back to the stadium, and he's got music playing underneath him, which we'll hear more of in a bit, but he just saying results, what he expected, more or less.
Full time from Ellen Road. Leeds between these two teams. 3-2 to them last time. 4-3 to us the time before. Today was not classic by any stretch. I got what I came for, basically. Leeds the better side in the first half by far and away. The better side. We came here, we had a game plan, we knew where it was going to be, and that's where it had to be. Everybody's not going to compete with them going toe-to-toe. We set up to be compact, be rigid, dominate, frustrate Leeds. And the referee and linesman definitely helped with that latter one. They were awful from both sides.
Yeah, both sides.
Fair enough.
Mm.
But the next clip, I disagree.
It's a great goal. Marty should have been a red card, in my opinion, for the goal scorer. Him and Cooper have a tussle. 6-1, half a dozen to the other. And he then elbows Coops in the chops. It should have gone off, in my opinion. Music's killing me.
I do love that.
It makes me think we should play it louder and play more of it.
Yeah, turn the speakers up in there.
Just to, particularly in the away end, just to ruin it.
Norwich-style white noise. I mean, 6-1 and half a dozen of the other, and yet he thought Nontos should have been sent off. Is he saying that Cooper should have been sent off as well?
That was fine. That was just Cockney wrestling.
Right.
The crucial difference, and the thing where there is a, if that had been the Premier League, it probably would have been VAR'd into a red for Wilf, is because his forearm goes across Cooper's chin and neck as he's putting his head back into the ground from whence it came. And that's probably, it's a bit close, but where he would, Wilf would excuse himself as he was just doing that. He is shoving this guy to the ground. It's not like he's punched him on the corner of the chin. He's not gone for his jaw. It's kind of just of the way that they've come together, and that's how he's put him down. In the Premier League, I reckon they go through that in slow motion and Wilf is off.
Do you reckon?
Yeah. I think so, because contact with the face.
With the face?
With the fucking face. I think there's just too much at a Premier League level that they would...
They would delight in sending somebody off for they'd being naughty.
Yeah, they'd spend 5 minutes going through it and be like, oh, well, he's touched his chin, so he's got to be sent off for it, no matter what the sort of circumstances around it, whether it was meaningful or whether it was just, because he's used his forearm to push him down on his chest, but because of the positions that they are as they're rotating on the ground, his arm is at the top of his chest and he ends up getting him in the chin, and he puts him down. He uses the chin as leverage, and I think, yeah, Premier League video jockeys would be all over that for a red, but it shouldn't have been. Like, it should not be. Yellow for both was probably about right, but also if they'd blown all the line, I would waved his damn flag to stop the whole thing as soon as Cooper was pulling him to the ground, then whatever happens after that has a different complexion.
Yeah, I kind of put this in the category of deserved it, which I'm sure probably isn't. It doesn't maybe fall into
Stockley Park that sat there thinking, did he deserve
well,
that's that?
It. Well, why is Nonto down there in the first place? It's because he's been laid on top of by like a 6'7" man, and then he's been dragged around with him as he's trying to get up. So if you get elbowed in the face when that's going on, fine.
Yeah, that's how it should be.
Yeah. Okay, and excellent referee, Stephen Martin, with his biceps. Well, saw it that way.
He didn't see anything though, did he? Because he wasn't.
I bet he loves a wrestle.
He wasn't watching at any point in that game. Is what I think he was going on vibes rather than anything else.
Whose vibes are we going to examine next then?
Well, I don't really like hearing other teams in the title promotion race doing well, but Ipswich did beat Sheffield Wednesday 6-0, which does have a certain amusement still. So we had Clates away when we played Sheffield Wednesday the other week, and we've got him now. I've joined him here. It's quite a long clip, but I've joined him on his journey from 2-0 through to 6-0.
Can you hear it ebbing away, his
through
life?
Through to a car. You get the usual thing where you get very angry in the middle and then by the end you're sort of accepting it, and then the anger kicks in a little bit more because you're like, fucking hell. Plus you're in Ipswich, I suppose, for this one, which is going to hurt a little bit for the drive back. But this is just some upset.
Too easy. can't. There's nothing much I can really say, really. Why are we so bad? Why are we so bad?
And number five.
There's number five. Result than this. Fucking hell. I'm absolutely embarrassed.
Dad, I know you don't want your reaction in the vlog, but it's got to happen. What are your thoughts?
This is swearing. Fucking crap.
Oh, Dad. I mean, it's great, isn't it?
They were so hopeful as well, weren't they? When they played us, they were like, oh, things are turning around. We can get a result there. They've gone from that to that.
I thought Jan Poveda coming back was supposed to make the... Did he not play? Was he,
you know what,
was he out of this game?
I don't know, actually.
I do like the dad's prefacing his... I wonder if he does it all the time. This is swearing. And then, I don't know, this is me deciding what to have for breakfast. I think I'll have some bacon. That might be what he does all the time. This is me being thirsty. Would anyone like a cup of tea?
Right,
what a great guy to live with.
Let's have a look at whether Jan Poveda did play.
It can't have been... They would have at least a point Ipswich if Jan was on the pitch.
He started the game and played.
Did they take him off after 10 minutes or something?
53 minutes they took
him
off.
What was the score at that point?
It was 3-0 at half time, so.
Yeah. So I think they'd given up by that point.
They didn't fancy a 3-3 draw.
One, two, three. No, I think it was 4 at the point at which they took him off. Yeah, because the last two goals came 80 and 90 minutes.
Then so the only possible explanation is no Bannon?
No, Barry Bannan was playing there. In midfield, he got a 6 out of 10. Jan Poveda got 6.5 out of 10. I think was the highest. Yeah, it was the highest scoring of the Sheffield Wednesday Owls.
Who was to blame?
What, for this game?
Based on the algorithm-based scores,
the algorithm is not the keeper's not fared that well. Little Jeremy Beadle's lad, 4.1 out of 10 says the algorithm. You're back 4.4.
He had a little hand in that defeat.
Yep, 4.4 and 4.6. Your centre halves. Left back, 5.4, 6.1, and then, it got slightly better as it went forward, but nobody really faring particularly well.
It won't have been Chancery's fault.
Yeah, it'll have been due to the fans being negative.
Yeah, I was going to say, he said, why are we so crap in that clip before? It's not Chancery, is it? It's
no.
Reasons.
Reasons. Reasons. You need to just be more positive and get behind the team and don't be like Leeds. That's the main thing.
Yeah, somebody's probably tweeted some negativity before that game, and that's been the big problem.
I did briefly dip into some Rotherham Huddersfield stuff, but it was 0-0 and it seemed like an awful game. I think there were about 400 completed passes between the two sides.
All season.
More or less. Yeah. Might as well.
Yeah.
Might as well.
Right.
Just a result that pleases absolutely nobody, that, isn't it? Rotherham be like, this is probably our best chance to win between now and the end of the season. Huddersfield thinking, we've got to win this.
And yet there is some low-key satisfaction as a Leeds fan, just based on pure pettiness of seeing that it's all three Yorkshire sides in the bottom three, aren't they?
Yeah. Seeing how it happens. I mean, I don't mind. Rotherham are kind of all right, aren't they?
And they're harmless enough, aren't they? Yeah. They looked after Luciano for a bit.
And
Steve Evans
and little Chrissy Dawson and Peltz. All the good lads are there.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but yes, in terms of it not helping anybody, it helped us all have a very low-key chuckle, didn't it? So that's good. Isn't it?
So from celebrating an Ipswich win,
yep.
Should we celebrate a Scum win?
Yeah, let's do that. One of our favourite.
That was nice, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
This is Andy Tate, who you'll know from stuff outside the
from
ground,
the internet. You mean
from the internet? You'll know. Yeah. Not the bald misogynist one. Here he is outside Old Trafford.
I thought you were talking about yourself then.
Getting completely lost in describing a Man United victory over Liverpool.
Like a porno, wasn't it? Like a porno. You start off good, you're enjoying it, you're grinding away. Then you slack off, you drop off, you go limp, you get fucked over, you come again, you rise again. Then the second half, you get fucked again. And in the second quarter, you get that last minute double climax and you fuck them Scouse bastards over all the way down back the M62 to Scouse land.
I've not seen that one.
What's he been watching?
Are you sure that wasn't the bald misogynist? I gather, that's what it's all about.
Some very, very complex twists and turns in that.
I was going to say it's very exciting, isn't he? But that kind of feeds back into the idea. Yeah.
I don't know if he's talking about being in a porno, which I dread to think. Surely that hasn't happened.
Maybe that's a secondary career, media figure like that.
Or whether he's watching one and he's just getting really lost along the way.
Mm.
Interesting stuff.
So there's that. When it comes to what? What's the word I'm going to use? Excitement. That's the euphemism I'm going to use. I'm going to tee you up to do this then, Michael. What is it?
Lester Till I Die.
So our friends...
TV One.
Lester Till I Die, TV Channel One.
I will say, I can't listen to...
Midnight Freeview, as we're calling it.
They're on quite regularly, and I can't listen to everything they do because I just can't. You've heard it.
Right.
But I did think they were going live last night. I thought, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to get to my first penis spunking reference, then I can call it a day.
Yeah, we were drowning in those references, weren't we, the other week when we discovered them?
Yes, we were.
On the game, yeah.
So I was like, let's just hope there's a nice early one. I can stop listening. Should we listen to the start of the show?
Yeah, I mean, this is 15 seconds.
And I think
story of your life.
I think basically here, his picture wasn't maximised on the screen, so I think he had to click a blue button.
Lester Till I Die.
Hello. Oh, look at that. Let me just pop a Viagra. And there we go. Works every time, that little blue pill. I couldn't swallow one the other day. Ended up with a stiff neck.
Yep.
Yep.
There's a guy who does a running bit of like listening to a song by Lil Jon until he says, yeah. And it's basically exactly the same bit where he'll just introduce someone, start it playing. And then the first noise you hear is Lil Jon going, yeah. So it's basically, you could just do that every week, is listen to Lester Till I Die until they mention wanking. And it'll only take up a couple of minutes of your time every week. It'll be absolutely fine.
15 seconds.
Yeah.
15 seconds of pleasure there for you, Michael.
The first thing he has said before anything else on the stream is just Viagra, straight in.
Best of luck to him.
I feel like they need it.
Keep the peckers up for the end of the season and all that.
Right. Shall we?
That's it. Propaganda for a while, isn't it?
Yes. We're back after the international break with some propaganda.
Probably won't be listening to the Brazil and Belgium fans. That's where England are playing, isn't it?
I think it's
or Wales.
It's the Welsh and the Finns that are going to be the crucial ones.
Mm. But yeah, we won't be doing that. So thanks for mentioning it anyway.
I might dig in, keep on top of, so to speak.
Yeah.
Lest it's like Die TV One, just to see what they're saying.
Yeah, cool. Better dash, lads. My fake taxi's just waiting outside. So we'll see you in a bit.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.